We never stand alone. We have each other, of course, and we have God as our maker and our creator, and as a result, we are never, never alone. I'd like to talk to you just shortly tonight about something that kind of carries over from this morning. When I left this morning, I couldn't help myself, and I went home and wrote this and did the PowerPoint, and I'm really hoping that everything works out well. Because when I rush like that, I tend to make mistakes. But I hope you'll bear with me. Turn your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 16. And I'd like to read chapter 16, verses 7 through 13, and we'll go from there. Job, chapter 16, verses 7 through 13. Here's Job, and he's speaking, and he says, "But now He has worn me out. You have made desolate all my company, and you have shriveled me up, and it is a witness against me. My leanness rises up against me and bears witness to my face. He tears me in his wrath and hates me. He gnashes at me with his teeth. My adversary sharpens his gaze on me. They gape at me with their mouth. They strike me reproachfully on the cheek. They gather together against me. God has delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over to the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he has shattered me. He also has taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces. He has set me up for his target. He or his archers surround me. He pierces my heart and does not pity. He pours out my gall on the ground. He breaks me with wound upon wound. He runs at me like a warrior. I have sewn sackcloth over my skin and laid my head in the dust. My face is flushed from weeping. On my eyelids is the shadow of death. Although no violence is in my hands, and my prayer is pure." Now, when you listen to that, it's obvious that Job has got something wrong. Job is blaming God for everything that's happened to him. And I want to talk to you tonight, believe it or not, from this verse, about the idea that God gives every good gift and every perfect gift from above. The adversaries of life, they come at all of us at one time or another. And they tempt us at times. And the problem is that often men and women may turn and blame God for the troubles. We often turn and create and make God the source of evil. And then when we suffer, all the more. And we blame God. But you know what? Job didn't have that right. Job misunderstood what was happening to him. Everything that the word of the Lord records is true. Let's remember that. Every word of God is true. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't record things that are painful and where suffering is involved and even where death is involved. Every word of God is truth, even when it is coming as a form of error out of the mouth of the one being recorded. Job's statement about God and his dealings with him were wrong, wrong, wrong. And the book continues and demonstrates how wrong Job was there. And not only that book, but other books throughout the Bible, New and Old Testament, God himself reveals himself. And we're reminded that the source of our pain and suffering, the source of sin, the source of all those things that come upon us is the devil. Let's not forget that. The devil isn't the one that gives us the good and perfect gifts. The devil is the one that gives us perversion. The devil is the one who takes away our peace or tries to. And the devil is the one that's behind all sin. And we need to be reminded of that. The nature of God that we serve never changes. James wrote, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights with whom is no change or variableness of shadow, of turning. There is nothing about God that would represent Him giving us bad gifts. You know, and He did not want us to think of God in those kinds of terms. But Job did, because he misunderstood. It's a shame that James wasn't there when Job was there. Maybe James could have been that extra friend that came along and actually consoled him. But that didn't happen. And so we want to consider just some of the gifts from the Father of Light. Just a few things here today in your hearing. Good and perfect gifts from God. We're gonna look at four things. Number one, His provision for man's physical needs. God has many great gifts that He's given to man. And when we read the book of Job, and we have to read the rest of the Bible and conclude that this isn't from Satan. Satan doesn't provide us with the things that we need physically in this world. God is the gift giver, the perfect and good gift giver. And so He gives us provisions. His sustaining word is a gift from God. And His gift of family, of course, is a gift. And then the gift of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And these are the good, just a few. I mean, there's an exhaustive list. You could go on and on and on for hours. But we just want to look at these briefly. And so let's begin with His provisions for man's physical needs. God satisfies the desire that we have. Right? If you look in the book of Psalm 145, just Psalm 145, verse 15 and 16. And we'll read that together. Psalm 145, verse 15 and 16. We hear, the eyes of all look expectantly to you. Think of that. Every eye is looking to God. And He says, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. You know, tonight we were looking out the door and saw deer up near my front porch. And they were eating, Deidre says they were eating the new pieces of the tree. I can't think of it. Buds. And God provided that for the deer. How in the world do the deer survive out there? How do we survive in this world? God provides and satisfies our desires. The eyes of the Lord look expectantly the eyes of all look expectantly to you. The whole earth looks to God, including us. We think of this in the sense that God completely satisfies. This is a wonderful text, Psalm 81. I really love this text. God completely satisfies. I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. This is God. The great, you know, think of this nation in bondage, coming out of slavery, coming out of Egypt, and God says, I brought you here. You just open your mouth and I'll fill it. Think of a little bird in a nest and how God provides food for those little baby birds, and how they just open their mouth and somehow that food just gets shoved right down their throat. God says that to you and me in the same way He said it to Israel. You open your mouth and God will completely satisfy your need. According to His riches also. And when we think about the riches of God, they are innumerable. You can't count them. You can't quantify them. There isn't anything in this world that could possibly equal God's riches. And the scripture says, and my God shall apply all your supply, all your needs, according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. God made this world and he said that you are worth more than the sun, the moon, the stars, and the heavens. All of creation. And here we are, and God says that he will supply all your need according to his riches. That is a gift. The great, good gift giver God. According to his riches. More than all of creation, as I just mentioned. You know, consider the ravens, Jesus said. They neither sow nor reap. They have no storehouses or barns, but God feeds them. How much more value are you than they? God's good gifts. And one of those, all that provision that God promises us and follows through. He feeds the birds. He feeds the deer. He feeds the lions. And he feeds all the animals of the earth, the fish, the birds of the air. But he thinks more of you than all of that. That is a great gift that comes down from God. And next, God gives the gift of his sustaining, of sustaining the world. Right? That's what God does. His sustaining of the world. Now look again back in Psalm 55. Psalm 55 and verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22. And listen how this applies to God sustaining the world. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. He is on our side. He sustains all things, not just us. But Colossians 1 and 17 says that he is before all things. And listen, and in him all things consist. If there was no God, there would be no things. Even if God didn't create out of his love, there would be no things. But everything that's created is created because of God. And he sustains all those things. And he does that, sustains the whole world. Right? Hebrew writer said, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. That's how, you know, we have this word, which tells us everything that ever proceeded from the mouth of God for us to know. Everything that pertains unto life and godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Everything that we need to know, right here. And that word not only sustains everything else. The heavens are held up there by the word. The oceans stay in their place by the word. And the mountains have risen up and they do their work by the word. The birds were created by the word. Everything was created by the word. God said, so are we. Created by the word and held together by that powerful word. Everything that you can imagine held together. And that is a great gift of God to man. When he had the ability, he also purged us of our sins. And then Jesus sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Good and perfect gift from God. His sustaining of the world, everything, not just the physical things and not just those things that are in the heavens, but our physical being and our spiritual being, all held together by the word of God. And that is a gift from God. Thirdly, I'd like you to consider his gift of family. It's something that the world disdains. The world wants to destroy. The devil in his scheming is trying his best to destroy the family. And when you think of the steps of the family, in the beginning, God, okay? He's creating everything. He created the earth. He said, let there be light. He created the firmament and divided the heavens from the heavens and the land and the trees and the herbs of the field for food. And he created the seas and the animals that were in the seas and the life in the sea, the beasts of the field he created after he created that land, the birds of the air. And the last thing that God made, that great gift, was man and woman. God started with man and woman. Right? And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And after God did that, he saw that it's not good that man should be alone. So I will make him a helper comparable to him. And we know God took the rib, he closed Adam up, and he made woman from man. That was the first step. And then God conducted the first marriage. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The first marriage. And that was by God's design. That was a gift of God. He gave us man and woman respectively as gifts. And then he gave us marriage so that man and woman could come together. Look at Psalm 128 and verse 3. Psalm 128 and verse 3. Verse 3, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine and the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. God gave us family as a gift. And we need to treasure that, cherish that, protect that at all costs. Because it is a gift from God. And if you turn over, or back rather, to Psalm 120, seven. Psalm 127, verses 3-5. God blesses the family with children. He blessed that mother and father with children. Listen to what he says here. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, a gift from God. The fruit of the womb is a reward. The air, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Isn't that a great thing? God gave us all these things. God has created what many, the biblical family. Happy are you with these children, having a quiver full. God gave these good and perfect gifts for us to enjoy and to prosper in. But there's no question as we look at this that the most perfect gift that God ever gave was His Son, Jesus Christ. He is gift of our Savior. I want you to turn over to Isaiah chapter 43 and we'll read about this Savior, Isaiah chapter 43. And we're going to read verses 2-4. Let's just read down to verse 4. But now this, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia, Sheba, in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, you have been honored and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. Listen to those words. And that was written to Jacob long ago, but the same words apply to us. My friends, God is with us and He has redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we pass through the waters, He's there with us. When we go through, when the rivers come, they won't overflow us. And when you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. And He is with us. He is the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. He's with us. And that is a gift, good and perfect gift. God is our only Savior. The Savior is always with us, and He is the only one. Hosea says, yet I am the Lord your God. God, ever since the Lord, since the land of Egypt, and you shall know God, know no God but me. For there is no other Savior beside me. You see? And so God blessed the father and mother with children, and He gave us a Savior. And there is no other God. There is no salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other. And that's a great and perfect gift. Listen, you know, God also gave us prayer. Because of Jesus being the propitiation for our sins, because of Jesus being the advocate between us and the Father, He gave us prayer, the ability to pray, and God hears us. To pray and have that advocate between us and God, the one who stands between us and God as we're cleansed and washed clean by His blood. And He gave us the Holy Spirit that we might, through that, be able to talk to God and that God would understand all our needs even though we can't express them. God also gave us the church. You know, Matthew 16:18, Jesus made that statement, I will build my church, and He did. We see that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20, where God gave the apostles and the prophets and so on, all those neat things that were necessary to establish and to build the church. And we see also in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 that Jesus is and always shall be the head of the body, the church. And He gave us that church, and our theme for this year has literally been about that church. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. We are the pillar and the ground of the church, which God gave us, the great gift of that church. And He also gave us the gift of the hope of heaven, that we would one day be able to stand before God in heaven. In Titus chapter 1 and at verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie. That great gift giver can't lie. He can't lie, and He promised that before time began, that we would have the hope of eternal life. In Titus chapter 3 at verse 7, the same thing, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs, right? According to the hope of eternal life. God gave us hope, and He gave us that promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son, our Savior. Think of First John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And the life was manifest, and we have seen it. We bear witness, and we declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. We have that hope because of the great gifts of God. And as I said in the beginning, there's many, many, many gifts that we would, you know, be, it would exhaust us to even try to number them and to expound on all of them. But certainly remember, whenever you read your Bibles, it's a gift from God. The very Word of God is a gift from God. I know that us in this room now are saved, but we need to recognize that salvation came through our faith and obedience to Jesus Christ, our Savior. It came because we obeyed the gospel of Christ, because we believe what we heard. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We repented of our sins, and we confessed Jesus before men and were baptized to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, to have our sins washed away. What greater gift we have? Don't feel sad. Don't feel depressed. Don't let anxiety take over. Realize that we have the great gifts of God, who is the great gift giver. And one of the gifts He gave us is the gift of repentance. If we need to, we can come to God. We can regret what we may have been doing that was out of order, and we can change that by repenting and seeking God's forgiveness and being established or reestablished with God. We have a hymnal to song 800. Is that the song? 800, the great physician, the one who heals all our troubles. Let's stand and sing together this great song.
The great physician now is near.